This is the Big E Sports Show
on the Sports Map Radio Network from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios.
Here's Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Wow, here we are, hour two, Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. Thank you so much for joining us on this Saturday. Love to hear from all of our listeners, always live on Twitter, at E Radio Sports. Always love to be hanging out in studio with my producer, Jack McCraw. Give him a follow, JackMC15. And Jack, we're going to pick up our conversation where we left off in hour one, talking about the Dallas Cowboys. They have been a big storyline this week. Talk to me about CeeDee Lamb. I mean, was he worth a first-round pick for Dallas? Did they make the right decision there?
I think they did, and right now he's second on the team in receiving yards with 497 yards. He's only 6 yards behind Amari Cooper for total receiving yards, and he has the second most targets on the team behind only, of course, Amari Cooper. And he's not standing out as much as we thought is because he has so much talent around him. We have Amari Cooper, as previously mentioned. We have Michael Gallup as your go-to number three. He's been returning kicks just fine, and now with Andy Dalton going more with Schultz at the tight end position, his receptions are going to go a little bit down, but I think CeeDee Lamb is a huge addition to this offense. It just needs to flow a little bit better, and I think he'll get his receptions more and more as the season progresses.
What do you think is going to be the key for Mike McCarthy to get the locker room back? They got to get on the same page.
And I'm also hearing reports that people are unhappy with Mike McCarthy, and that's not a good sign right now, Alyssa, but the way Mike McCarthy could probably get this locker room back is just sitting down, talking with his players, say, hey, guys, we're all in this together. We just got to try to find a way to get through this. And they still have 5 division games left with the football team, Giants, and Eagles, and those could be winnable games. So the Cowboys theoretically could finish with a 7-9 or 8-8 record and still qualify for the playoffs. And I think that's the best way that McCarthy could encourage his team going forward.
Well, I think for all Cowboy fans, we just have to be patient. Of course, the Cowboys at Washington on Sunday, 1 o'clock kickoff on Fox. And as you had said, Jack, I mean, they still lead the NFC East despite a 2-4 record. So here we got November 3rd deadline looming. Do the Cowboys, do they need to make a trade before this?
They need to do something in the secondary, Big E. As we mentioned earlier, the defense is atrocious, and the secondary is where it all starts. Because you still have Jalen Smith, Leighton Vander Esch, DeMarcus Lawrence up front. That's fine. You need to get some help in that secondary.
Okay, NFL, what a great way to kick off hour two. But you know what? A little bit later in our program, we're going to be visiting with legendary NBA coach, the great Mike Dunleavy. Come on back. Sports Map Radio Network.
This is the Big E Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Okay, it is week 8 of the college football season, and in our next segment, we're going to highlight some of the top teams out of the Big 12, the Big 10, and the SEC. But first, don't let a bad battery leave you stranded. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery free of charge. If it needs to be replaced, O'Reilly Auto Parts can help you find the exact battery for your car or truck at a guaranteed low, low price. Keep your vehicle on the road by getting your battery tested for free at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Well, we are so delighted to have back with us from CBS Sports, that is their college football analyst, the great Brian Jones. And Brian, I know it's a busy day for you and your colleagues, and we sincerely appreciate you stepping away from the studio desk and joining us this morning.
Well, you got me on my way to the studio desk, so if you hear all this car noise, that's because I'm heading to work for all this big action. But first of all, Big E, happy birthday.
Well, thank you so much. The celebration continues through the weekend. We're having a lot of fun, and we wanted to have you on the show. You're one of our favorites, and we wanted to get your insight on just so many of the exciting matchups today. And let's actually start in the Big Ten Conference. They're back in action. And with the return of the Big Ten, that adds some spice and some sizzle to the national picture with teams like Ohio State, Penn State, and Wisconsin. So what are your expectations from the Big Ten in this year of the new abnormal?
Well, we have some more kids in the pool, so welcome. Big Ten, the Mountain West is starting up as well, and Pac-12 at some point. But I'm excited. We have more games, more players to discuss, and as far as the Big Ten, of course, the bell cow has been Ohio State. Penn State's been nipping at their heels and actually won the conference, didn't get the nod for the college football playoff a few years back, but I think they're going to be right there with them. They've got a tough one right out of the gate versus a resurgent Indiana team. Indiana was 8-5 last year, and you look at those losses, two of the five were blowouts, but the other three, they were very competitive, and deficit of defeat was less than double digits. So I think they're going to give Penn State all they can handle. Of course, Ohio State and Nebraska are going to hook up. Nebraska's got to be sitting there thinking, wait a minute, I know we were vocal about wanting there to be ball, but you're going to put us up against Ohio State, really? Okay, thank you, Big Ten. But they've got to be excited just to be back on the field. And this is a huge opportunity, opportunity for them to say, hey, we're not afraid, we're not scared, we just want to play ball, and to prove that, we're going to go out and upset Big Bad Ohio State. Now, I don't think that will happen, but I think they will hopefully be competitive. Let's say that. And you know, the big one everyone's focusing on is Minnesota and Michigan. I really don't know what Michigan is working with. Joe Milton's going to be the new quarterback. He got some run a year ago. You know, they got new running backs, new wide receivers, new cornerbacks. The offensive line is retooled. And on the flip side, Minnesota, they not only they have a veteran O-line, but they probably have the biggest O-line. They got a 450-pounder over there,
wow.
Big E. I mean, this guy is huge. Tanner Morgan can ball at quarterback, 1,000-yard rusher, and Ibrahim and Rashad Bateman, the receiver, opted back in. So I think they're going to be lacking on the defensive side of the ball, but offensively they should be able to move the line, if you will, against Michigan. So those are the three marquee matchups, in my estimation, heading into this Big Ten weekend.
CBS Sports college football analyst Brian Jones is with us. Of course, played college ball at UCLA and Texas, and also played in the NFL with the Raiders, the Colts, and the Saints. And it's interesting. Here it is, week 8 of the college football season, but it is week 1 for the Big Ten Conference. So, Brian, listen, what's your level of concern with injuries? I mean, you're talking about some of these big boys that are out there. I mean, what do you think about the guys that are just getting into the game?
That's a great question, and you're right. It's week 8. It doesn't even seem like it's week 8. And,
I know.
And for us to say week 1 for Big Ten, it just says you all tells you all you need to know about what 2020 has been about. But big concern for me going in was whether or not guys would be in football shape. As you know, being an athlete, you can practice all you want by yourself and do all that training by yourself, but until you get in the gym or get on the field and mix it up with the other participants, that's the only way you round yourself into ideal shape. So there was some concern early with the fits and stops, starts with practice. You know, if you had a couple positives, you have to shut down everything. So that was a huge, concern. But I think everyone has been relatively safe. They've had weeks at a time now to round into football shape. They've had a chance to do their normal routine, although it's later in the year. So I don't think it's going to be as problematic as I thought initially.
Okay, Ohio State, since we're talking about the Big Ten Conference, I mean, obviously they're the favorite. Who do you think will challenge them?
I think it's going to be Penn State. I wish Micah Parsons, their all-everything linebacker, had opted back in, but he didn't. But I think here's a team that averages about 40, 50 sacks a season over the last 4 or 5 years and still got some good ones on that D-line. But offensively, pretty much everyone's coming back. They're going to need a wide receiver to step up. If there was one detriment to their offense last year, it was that. So I think someone can step up there with all the pieces they have returning on the defensive side of the ball. It should be fine.
CBS Sports college football analyst Brian Jones is our very special guest at SportsMap Radio Network. You know, we're highlighting right now the Big Ten Conference, but you cover all these different conferences, the SEC, the Big 12. I mean, how tough has it been for these conferences or the teams to schedule conference-only games?
Well, it's interesting. We sit here and we say, well, why do you need to schedule teams, you know, 5 and 10 years out? When everyone's scrambling, we're able to get teams back on the schedule. Some were still looking, but, you know, Notre Dame, for them to join the ACC, it really worked out uniquely in their case. And when there's a will, there's a way. I guess that's the best way to describe it. And everyone was frantically looking to replace opponents, and especially the independents, BYU being in that number and others, you know, the big boys, yeah, they're able to do it. The lesser knowns, it's still a bridge too far for them. But if you needed to have it done, you got it done. So, you know, the conference schedule, conference only, especially the SEC, Big Ten, provides a ton of entertainment, you know, even to a certain extent in the other Power 5 conferences as well. But I think it's been some good ball. It's been some interesting storylines, some upsets we didn't see coming into the season, and for Arkansas to be playing as well as they are right now, that's been amazing, the way Sam Pittman's turning that game around. So, you know, a lot of people frowned upon there being conference only, especially the big bad SEC, but you just got to play whoever they put in front of you, and that's what we're tasked with doing as players, and go out and try to make it happen.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's shift gears quickly. Talk to us about who do you think has the best odds to win the Heisman this year? I mean, I've got Clemson's Trevor Lawrence right at the top.
Yeah, I think you have to start there. This guy's been unbelievable. He did show that he's human by throwing his first pick in over a year last week versus Georgia Tech, but only needed a half to post up big numbers, and he threw some darts, just some beautiful passes in that ball game. I got him number one. Mac Jones is right there behind him at Alabama. Coming into the season, a lot of people thought this kid was going to be a placeholder. I'm like, no, he's going to run this offense. He's going to put his stamp on it, and he's done that and more. They've got 9 400-yard passing games in the history of Alabama football, and he's had 3 in the last 3 weeks. So 3 of those 9 in the last 3 weeks. So that just shows you what type of player this young man is. So he's 2, and I still have Kyle Trask in Florida, even though they're coming off that loss to A&M. I got him at number 3. You could plug Travis Etienne, you know, possibly in there. Kyle Pitts, the tight end in Florida as well. So those three quarterbacks are how I see it right now.
Check him out, CBS Sports college football analyst. Always amazing. Provides some great perspective and insight. And that is Brian Jones. You stay safe, and we look forward to catching up. We got to talk Texas. We got to talk Oklahoma. Okay, Brian?
Oh, no. I'm glad you skipped it. I am so glad you didn't mention those knuckleheads, because I'm tired of being angry.
Oh, man. Okay, we'll talk to you real soon. Okay, thanks, Bri.
All right. Thanks, Big E.
You bet. Stick around. Much more coming your way here in Hour 1 at Sports Map Radio Network. We will be right back.
This is the Big E Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, good morning. Welcome back on this Saturday. Sports Map Radio Network, sportsmapradio.com. You are listening to the Big E Sports Show, and I am your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell. Mark it down. Join us every Saturday, 11 to 1 Eastern Time. And thrilled we are a part of your weekend. Well, right now in our program, it is time to let it fly. We're going to talk some PGA news and notes and provide the latest from around the world of golf. And always our analyst that joins us each and every week, former PGA pro, Larry Miller. Check him out, LarryMillerGolf.com. How's your weekend going, Larry?
Oh, great. So far, so good. Haven't missed any three-footers yet, so that's a good sign.
There you go. Absolutely.
But good morning, everybody.
Well, it is a big weekend for the PGA Tour. The 2020 Zozo Championship is underway, and good news, Tiger Woods is back. Of course, he won the inaugural running of this tournament last year in Japan, but the Zozo Championship, of course, is, you know, taking a sabbatical from its typical location over the COVID-19 situation, so it was moved to Thousand Oaks, California, a private club just outside of L.A., and you know, Larry, it is a Jack Nicklaus design. I was just curious, I mean, have you played this course before? And perhaps what can you tell our listeners about it?
Well, I have not played that course before, but what I can tell you is that Jack Nicklaus designs are designed for a good, strong left-to-right player. You know, for a right-hander, a fader of the ball, a guy who likes to play a little left-to-right shot, a little fade or a power fade. The lefties, it'll be for them, it'll be a draw, but that's the way Nicklaus designs his courses, and probably because that's the way he played. You know, Jack hit just a high, slight fade with everything, and so his courses tend to be designed, you know, to favor the left to right shot. So people who you know, who draw the ball predominantly are going to struggle a little bit with those kinds of designs, because they're going to have a lot of pins and dog legs to the right that they, you know, they're going to struggle with trying to get the right shape of shot for the hole. So now Tiger Woods is, you know, he certainly can hit that high fade. Mm-hmm. That's one of his trademark shots. And of course, DJ loves to hit that shot too. He's great at that, especially with the driver. But anyway, so yeah, look for that. Look for the guys who can hit the high cut shot, the high fade, to play really well.
Well, you mentioned Tiger. Of course, he has won at this course 5 times, so that's got to give him that extra boost of confidence, and that perhaps he can get number 83, right?
Yep. Well, it's a whole different venue, though. You know, you can't put much stock in what he did last year in the Zozo, because it's a whole different golf course. But it does favor the way he shapes his shots. It all depends on, you know, what kind of shape is he in. I mean, the guy just doesn't play much, and got to have rust, you know, and I'm talking about competitive rust. He might be practicing and playing every day at home, but when you get into, you know, world-class competition, you have to do it on a steady basis to be able to perform your best under those circumstances, under that pressure. And so that's the big problem with Tiger, and I think it's why when he does, every time he comes back after these hiatuses, you know, he struggles. And I think it's because of the rust, and he doesn't have the continuity of playing, you know, multiple events in a row. So anyway, that's what we look for. And then of course the other issue with him is his back, anyway. So that's my take on Tiger for this week.
You're listening to The Voice, a former PGA pro, Larry Miller. He is also an author, joining us each and every week at Sports Map Radio Network, the Big East Sports Show. Of course, the Zozo Championship, it is underway. We're breaking it all down for you at Sherwood Country Club. And, you know, it's interesting, Larry, this course, when you look at it, I mean, it's got a lot of twists and turns. It's a par 72, 7,100 yards. The greens are bent. You've got some elevation changes. As I'm talking about the greens, I mean, they're pretty fast, and it is West Coast golf. I mean, how do you prepare for that? You're talking about Tiger Woods, his competitive rust may be there, and he's got to knock some of that off. But, you know, when you play golf on the West Coast, is it like playing in Arizona? I mean, how do you go about it?
No, it's a different, and boy, it's especially different from when you get down into the Southeast or the Eastern Seaboard or even the Midwest.
Okay.
California is a whole different thing. And the courses are, you know, for a person who doesn't grow up there and they're not used to playing the California courses, it's very difficult. It's a lot tougher than it is in the South. You've got the golf courses in general are just harder, and the greens are usually faster. You get a lot of poana out there, like you have at Pebble Beach. They can get the greens really slick. The courses tend to be just more difficult designs. The ball runs out more in the fairways, and so, you know, the long hitters are going to have trouble keeping the ball in the fairway because it runs out so much. And down, you get down south in the Bermuda grasses, and the ball doesn't roll like that. And the humidity is higher, and the ball doesn't go as far. So it's a whole different ball game. But Tiger grew up in California, and mm-hmm. I mean, look at how many times he won at Torrey Pines.
Yeah.
I think, what, 7 or 8 times. So, you know, on California golf courses, he really shines. And so that's another plus in his favor.
Well, yeah, that is a perfect segue, because the countdown is on for the Masters. And one would think, you know, Tiger, he's looking to build his confidence. So how does he compartmentalize that? I mean, is the Masters, I mean, that's got to be on his mind somewhat, or what's he thinking?
Well, he's been, throughout his career, he's been really great at playing well when he wants to. And when I say wants to, of course he wants to all the time, but I'm talking about the majors, when he really, that's his real goal and his real focus. And at this point in his career, it's just the major tournaments. And, but for instance, this week, the Zozo, I think you're going to see, you know, all these elite players, these, world top 20, 25 players, they've been honing their games and getting sharp specifically for Augusta.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we've been seeing first-time winners all the time this year, you know, this year, last year, I don't think you're going to see it this week. I think you're going to see one of the elite players win this golf tournament because their games are rounding into shape for Augusta, and that's what they do. They get ready, and they try to reach a peak right around Masters time. And so you know these guys are all starting to play well and do what they want to do with the golf ball. So I think you're going to see a leaderboard full of the elite players' names.
Larry Miller is a life member of the PGA of America and former PGA Tour player and author of four books on golf and performance. His latest release is Ben Hogan's Secret Fundamental, What He Never Told the World. And it is interesting when we talk about the Zozo Championship, it really does have a strong field, a ton of big names. So, Larry, I know we've already highlighted and talked about Tiger, but do you have one pick in mind that you're going to be watching and following closely on Sunday?
Well, you know, I noticed that Brooks Koepka had a couple of 68s in the last tournament, and it seems like he's getting back into the swing of things, excuse the pun, but his his health seems to be getting better. But, you know, Dustin Johnson with his left to right very strong fade certainly should play the golf course extremely well. You know, if I had to make a pick, you know, it's like throwing a dart to a board. I mean, these days, look at Jason Kokrak, you know, after 200-something tournaments finally wins. I mean, you could almost throw a dart up there and hit a name, try to pick one. But DJ stands out to me just because of the way he drives the ball and because it's a Jack Nicklaus golf course.
Well, we are here in Houston, and of course, DJ, he is scheduled to play in the Houston Open, but I just wonder about so many of these players, you know, what is their preparation going to be leading up to the Masters? Because, I mean, it's never been played in the month of November. How do you prepare for this event?
Well, what they're working on, you know, Augusta, of course, is legendary for its difficult, fast, undulating. Undulating is not even the word. It's more like a roller coaster out there. And so these guys start preparing. You know, they want to play fast greens in preparation. They want to play greens that are have a lot of contour and sloping. And then they want to work on hitting the ball high with their irons because at Augusta you have to drop it in there from way up there to stop the ball on those greens where you want it to stop. So those are the things they work on mostly in preparation for Augusta is trying to get the approach shots, their iron shots, you know, way up in the air. And then working on lag putting, you know, they practice a lot of 30, 40, 50 footers even on sloping greens to get used to that because that's the feature of Augusta. You've got to hit your approaches high and hold the greens with them, and then you've got to be able to not three putt a bunch, which is probably one of the greatest performances in golf history. Mm-hmm. Is when Tiger won in 97 and never three-putted one green. It was pretty amazing.
Wow, that's incredible. Well, for some of our recreational golfers that are listening to our conversation this morning, I mean, what do you think are some of the biggest mistakes?
Well, yeah, lack of speed, but they tend to play the ball too far back in their stance with the irons, and that actually encourages digging into the turf. The great iron players play the ball a little more forward, kind of off their you know, maybe just inside the left armpit, if you look down. Mm-hmm. from the address position. And so, yeah, that's a big thing that a lot of amateurs make is playing it too far back, and they end up digging into the ground. And the other thing is trying to, you know, you want to create speed, but you don't want to do it, you know, with your hands.
Right.
You want to have good body rotation.
Yes.
So you want to make sure on the downswing that you get your torso, get your belly button moving and face the target at the finish with it. If you slow down your body rotation, then your hands take over, and then you're going to flip the club with your hands. So it's very important to keep the body rotating on the downswing.
And use those big boy muscles, or I should say big girl muscles.
Exactly. Yeah.
It is a big weekend for the PGA Tour. The 2020 Zozo Championship is underway. We love him. He's the best. Larry Miller, former PGA pro. Go ahead and get a copy of his new book, Amazon.com, Ben Hogan's Secret Fundamental. Larry, you and Connie have a great weekend, and we will.
Well, I want to wish the Big E a happy birthday.
Uh-oh. And, oh, no.
You know, I was going to sing, but all the listeners would have turned the radio off. That would have been the end of the show. So, anyway, but have a wonderful day and a great birthday. I'll talk to you next week.
Thank you so much. Absolutely. Stick around. Much more coming your way. Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. We will be right back.
This is the Big E Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, welcome back on this Saturday morning at Sports Map Radio Network, sportsmapradio.com, and the Big E Sports Show. Many different ways to connect. You can always join us on Twitter. We're live there at eRadio Sports, info at eRadioSports.com, and podcastarena.com. Hey, don't let a bad battery leave you stranded. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery free of charge. If it needs to be replaced, O'Reilly Auto Parts can help you find the exact battery for your car or truck at a guaranteed low, low price. Keep your vehicle on the road by getting your battery tested free at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts, parts, better prices every day. Well, it has been a while since we've had a chance to talk some NBA. And of course, big news this week with the New Orleans Pelicans. The Pels hire veteran coach Stan Van Gundy, and Ty Lue was named the head coach of the Clippers. We are so thrilled to welcome in our next guest as he can provide some insight and perspective on some of the biggest challenges facing these head coaches, just the expectation and the pressure. Plus, we're going to take time to walk down memory lane and relive so many of his amazing memories during his legendary coaching career. He was the head coach for the Lakers, the Bucks, the Trailblazers, and the Los Angeles Clippers, also played 12 seasons in the NBA. And we're so delighted to welcome in for the first time the great Mike Dunleavy. Good morning, Coach, and thank you so much for joining us.
Good morning. My pleasure.
Well, first of all, 2020, it has been a very difficult year on many different levels. Just how are you and your family holding up? I know your home base is in New Orleans.
Yes, that's right. We've been good. I mean, everybody's been dealing with the same thing as far as terms of hardly any travel anyway, and not getting to see family members as much as you could, and just try to make sure everybody stays safe.
Well, I mentioned New Orleans. Obviously, big news this week with Stan Van Gundy being named the head coach of the Pelicans. So, what was your reaction when you heard the news?
Well, Stan's he's a proven coach. He's got a good track record. He's a smart guy. You've seen him the last year, doing TB analysis. He was in the bubble. So I think that, they've hired a really good, solid coach, and he's got a really nice, talented young nucleus to come in and work with. Although, obviously, last year, the way things were interrupted, it was, kind of a hard situation for all. But I thought the NBA did an amazing job of pulling off the whole concept of the bubble and, the precautions that they took and how well it played out for them. I thought it was pretty amazing. I mean, at least watching on TV with, having the courtside screens of, fans via computer, visually, it was great. I don't know how, not being in the, in the arena, how it generated any kind of, juice for the players, real fans could do. You had canned applause and different situations like that. But I thought they did an amazing job of pulling it off.
Legendary NBA coach Mike Dunleavy is our very special guest this morning at Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. I am your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell. And, as we think about your career, I mean, you coached against Stan in the past. What can, as you said, a young nucleus, what can these players expect from a Stan Van Gundy system? I mean, he's got eight players under the age of 25, a very young core.
Well, I mean, Stan's a guy. I mean, I think he's, as most veteran guys who get a chance to stay around the NBA a long time. He's going to lead with his defense. He started in Miami with the Heat and, progressed to Orlando and Detroit. And I think, his teams are going to be really solid defensive teams. And, and offensively, I think he'll, look at his roster and figure out, what's the best way for them to play.
You had an incredible career in the NBA, as I mentioned, the head coach for four different teams. So what is the key as a head coach when you're working with young players and being able to relate to them? Because it really is a whole new world in today's NBA.
Yeah, for me, the thing that I always try to keep up, so, as an NBA player, I led the NBA in three-point shooting. So my deal was always, up until within the last couple of years, that I kept up my shooting ability to where virtually I could either beat them, you know, in a game of 3-point shooting or horse.
Uh-huh.
And therefore, so when I'm talking about it, you know, you kind of gain your respect a little bit by that. Like, okay, wow, that dude can still shoot. And then, you know, from there, that's how you, you know, you start to build a rapport and get to know your guys. And, you know, for me, it was always about, you know, the defensive end of the floor, you know, trying to make sure that, you know, we were going to take away, the opponent's, you know, best players, their best way of winning and make somebody else have to beat us. But the other side of it, the offensive end was always trying to figure out how to best use the talents of each one of your players so that they will then be able to put up the best stats that they could put up for them, but also work, you know, within a team concept. So agents, you know, agents around the league who know that, and, you know, they look forward, you know, to sending their players to you because even if it's on a short-term deal, they're like, well, because you're going to get numbers playing there, and ultimately numbers are going to equal money. So that's kind of the concept, you know, take out the other guys and put points on the board.
You know, as a head coach, you want to maximize a player's strength, minimize their weaknesses. Tell us a little bit more as far as, you know, connecting with a new team and with players and earning that trust, because that obviously, you know this well. I mean, that's one of the keys to establishing a winning championship culture. I mean, you've got to gain the respect of your players.
Well, typically it's going to come, you know, with hard work on your part, and players get a chance to see coaches work in terms of, you know, film and other things, that other tools they use to prepare. And then ultimately, as a coach, you know, when you walk on that floor for a shoot around and you got to deliver a game plan, you have, you know, 12 guys in that room that they're going to be some smart guys, and you can't mess up on a coverage. You got to be right all the time. And, you know, and basically that's where it comes in, because if you make a mistake as a coach, believe me, you're going to get called out on it. And, you know, it's a full process. So, you know, you challenging your players every day, but they're also challenging you.
Well, I think about the Pelicans. I mean, they obviously have a number of very talented players, and always at the forefront is Zion Williamson. So if you had the opportunity to coach him, I mean, how do you go about maximizing his potential? He's a special guy.
Yeah, well, first of all, you know, he's got such explosion, and he plays the right way. I mean, I think, you know, he's a willing passer. You know, he'll make plays for his teammates. But his efficiency, you know, his scoring efficiency is tremendous. The only concern, you know, for him is the amount of weight that he carries and, you know, injuries. I think that's one of the things that would need to be addressed. From the outside looking in, you know, that basically that, you know, in conjunction with your doctors and physical, you know, physical therapists and all that, is basically to say, okay, look, our best chance of winning is keeping you on the floor and having you on the floor for, you know, a good portion of minutes in a game. I mean, I think, you know, that, he, you know, obviously he's played a lot of times right now where he has played with restriction on minutes. And, you know, I mean, even when you looked in the bubble when they were playing, there was one of the games I remember watching, and Pelicans had a 9-point lead with, you know, 4 minutes left to go in the game, and I think they had to take him out. They took him out, and he'd used up his minutes already. And, you know, clearly I felt like if, you know, he was on the floor, they would have won that game.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's a fine line. The first order of business, protect your asset. You know, you don't want to take the risk of injuring him. And if, you know, the doctors say play him 20 minutes a game, 25 minutes a game, whatever the number was, then you got to figure out your way to allocate those minutes in the right way. So he's not, obviously it's not exact science, but the first thing is to get him on the floor to where he's got the ability to play 30, 35 minutes a game so that you really get the maximum out of his potential. And, you know, I think the next step for him in his overall game, basically is, you know, 3-point shooting, as he can create more space on the floor because he's got that tremendous first step and obviously jumping and finishing ability, to have that explosion and his ability to pass the ball. You know, he becomes, you know, he basically can be, a superstar player. In terms of my definition, a superstar player is a guy who makes the other guys on his team better because he's out there. He's going to command so much attention. And it's kind of like LeBron. LeBron, forever, I remember way back in the day, when LeBron's first couple of years in the league, and sometimes I might be doing broadcasting and hear people criticize him, saying, oh, he's got to be better. He's got to be able to take two or three guys and finish. I'm like, what are you talking about? This guy is making plays, delivering the ball on the money to guys that become wide open, and is giving them the most time to get their rhythm to make a shot. They just got to get better shooters, because this guy, he's unbelievable in terms of, playmaking ability, kind of the combination. And that's kind of Zion. He has that kind of ability, as far as the finishing, the explosion part of it. But I do think the weight's going to be a little bit of an issue for him.
Well, just a moment ago, you were talking about their new head coach, Stan Van Gundy. Is he the type of disciplinarian that Zion can use so that he can be in game shape and game ready?
Well, I have no idea, what happened this year. Other than you obviously had a big layoff, and when Zion came back to play in the bubble, we know he left at some point in time, and they said it was for family reasons. But part of it, I think when he came back, how conditioned are you? And, instead of having a full season under his belt where you continually condition and you're monitored, I mean, they played it safe for a reason. I don't know the reason, but I'm assuming the reason was, to make sure that, he stays healthy and not to aggravate whatever issues he had. I think there were some potential knee issues or whatever, or meniscus. Didn't sound like something too major. But, again, as you've seen, a lot of the players in our league who have come into the league and have, played with, first of all, big guys who have a lot of weight and who are somewhat explosive. In the past, a lot of those guys have had issues with their feet and, lower extremities. And so I'm not sure it's up to the coach to necessarily do that. It's up to their medical team to be the ones that, prescribe, okay, look, we think you're going to operate the best at this weight, and we think these are things that you need to do to that's going to allow you to stay on the floor and play the most minutes. That's not necessarily the coach's job. The coach's job is to, push you and get you in shape, but you got to be able to be pushed.
Our NBA news and notes continues with legendary NBA coach Mike Dunleavy, and we will be right back.
This is the Big E Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, welcome back. Hour 2 at Sports Map Radio Network. Right now, let's rejoin our exclusive interview and conversation with legendary NBA coach Mike Dunleavy. 17 years as a head coach in the NBA, won 613 regular season games with the Lakers, the Bucks, the Trailblazers, and the Clippers. Our very special guest, exclusive interview with Mike Dunleavy. We are wrapping up time. Just tell us about one of your former teams. Who do you think is the biggest threat to the Lakers? They look pretty good, I think. They got a dynasty going on there.
Well, look, first of all, when you come down to the playoffs, it's about who's got the best players typically. And, virtually they had numbers 1 and 2 this year, I think. You had some guys on the shelf throughout the NBA. But when you're talking about LeBron James and Anthony Davis, because both guys played both ends of the floor. They've got major size for position. Davis's ability to, go out and shoot the three-pointer now. He made that huge shot. He made a dagger with the clock running out to win one game. And LeBron's ability there as well. Basically they got the two pieces that, probably are as good as any two pieces in the league. But, the Golden State Warriors, obviously, no Klay Thompson, no Steph Curry last year. And they've got a, very high draft pick this year that they can either use to draft the player they think they can help them, or as a trading, you know, chip to trade or make a maneuver to give them even better opportunity with the window they have with their guys. And then, you know, you have Brooklyn with KD and Kyrie Irving, you know, coming back hopefully healthy next year to play as well. So, you know, I think the NBA, they've got a lot of tandem star groups mm-hmm. around the league right now. And I think it, you know, makes for, you know, not only good TV, but the possibility of winning. I mean, I thought, you know, Miami did an amazing job of, you know, winning the East. And then unfortunately, you know, they had injuries to, you know, to Dragic. I mean, he barely came back at all. That was a killer for them. He played so well for them in the playoffs. But, you know, I think the Lakers were the dominant team and champions.
Well, Mike, you're spending a lot of time on the golf course. You're letting it fly, but are you hitting it straight?
You know, that's the only good part about my game. I hit it straight.
Oh, you do?
I hit it straight. And okay. I've got a good short game. I didn't start playing until about 18, 20 years ago. So, you know, a bad knee and bad back is what pushed me to golf. And I certainly wished I had played all those years.
Hey, legendary NBA coach Mike Dunleavy has been our very special guest this weekend. Listen, you guys have a great weekend, and we look forward to another conversation down the road. Thank you so much, Mike.
My pleasure. Thank you.
That, of course, was the legendary NBA coach Mike Dunleavy. A big thank you to all of our amazing guests over these past 2 hours. We'll see you next weekend for the biggest, the best in sports. Sportsmap Radio Network. And